Hi there, I'm Haley.
And I'm Johnny.
And you're listening to Johnny Haley Day of Fun.
Who do we have on today?
I don't know. Let's dive in and find out. Well, welcome everyone to another episode of the Day of Fun podcast. I am Haley and that's Johnny. And we are joined today by Brian John Laverty of Parapost Network and the Global Ghost Hunt and Huntophobia, all things paranormal and wild and fun. Hello, friend. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It was nice meeting you, Johnny.
We are
finally
so excited.
Finally, nice meeting you.
Scheduling is an interesting thing. You can contact so many people around the world now with this wonderful technology that we have. And then I get very busy booking people. And I know you know how that goes.
Yeah. I never like to. I'm one of those people that book the next week. I don't like to book too far ahead because.
Oh, I get too
most
excited.
Most of the time,
you
can get disappointed. You can get disappointed with a booking, and then all of a sudden they're canceling. Then you're trying to reschedule and all this. I just book 1 week in advance. That's all I do.
You know what? That's a good little trick. Maybe I might have to borrow that just because I understand like what you're talking about. But do tell us. So I do want to start off because we want to get into all of your different projects. But I want to start off with, tell me a little bit about what brought you to the paranormal world in general. Is this a childhood fascination? Did you have some experiences that brought you to this? Where did your paranormal fascination begin?
It started when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I'm able to see things other people can't see.
Okay.
So it started a lot younger. Obviously, I didn't understand what it meant. When I got to about 9 or 10, it started to make a little more sense. And when I got older, it made obviously a lot more sense to me. But I could see things other kids couldn't see. So I always put this into kind of what I see compared to maybe what other people see, like other mediums. And because I really consider myself more sensitive than a medium or anything like that. So, so when I see something, it's usually a black mass, solid when it comes to, and what I mean by that, I see the whole figure, the whole shape, the whole body,
sort of like a physical,
if you want to say,
silhouette.
Yeah, basically. And but I could tell if it's a male or female, usually by gut. I can't hear them and I can't see facial features.
Okay.
So that's
interesting to me, though. You talk a little bit about the idea of being as sensitive and not a medium. Can you kind of tell me then a little bit about how do you separate that? So like what you're seeing, is it just because you don't get a super lot of detail when it comes to information?
Yeah, I don't get any kind of information from them or anything like that. It's just I see them, they're there, that's it. So I guess I'm more sensitive to the energy than what a medium would be able to maybe see, talk to them, get something from them, whatever it may be, communicate basically. So that's what I see. And I said earlier, it's usually a gut reaction when it's a female or male. I can usually tell right away. It's not because when I'm looking at them and go, okay, that's a male. It's just something inside me says, oh, that's a male or that's a female.
I just get a sense of it.
Yeah, basically. So that's what I see. Now, I know a lot of people in the paranormal world don't like this, but when it comes to something demonic, and I don't like using that word, I would use more of a negative energy or a thing. I'd like to call it more a thing than anything.
I'm with you because I feel like there's people are kind of maybe sometimes I think too quick to label something. You know, it's a demonic entity. It's an evil spirit.
Yeah, a ghost is a bad guy, basically.
That would be a great term to use. Ghost is a bad guy. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, haven't we all been misunderstood at some point in life and maybe kind of thought to be a monster when we weren't or that wasn't the intention? So, you know, I think sometimes there is a little bit too quick of a knee-jerk reaction to like label an energy as being, you know, somehow malignant or evil or having negative intentions, right? When maybe that's not like, I usually default to that's probably not the case. It's more of like a perception filter kind of thing, but.
My personal feeling is that just because you're entering a house and you have something thrown at you or something's moved or whatever, doesn't necessarily mean it's demonic or poltergeist, as they call it. It could be just a really, really pissed off spirit that doesn't want you there. Or that could
just be like somebody who's being super playful, and that's the only way they can kind of like, that's how they're able to communicate. They don't have, you know, like they might just be doing what they are able to do to get your attention.
Yeah, it could be anything. But when I see something, and I'll be honest, I've only seen in my lifetime since probably starting around 17, 18, when I saw my first one, I've only seen 5 in my life. And that's not a lot. Now you get all these YouTubers that are seeing them every single week. You know what I mean? And, you know, our famous guy on TV that seems to be possessed every single show. So it's just not realistic. There's not realism at all. So.
Right. No, but that's interesting, though, kind of also in the realm of being sort of, like you say, more of a sensitive than a medium, the sort of like it comes to you when it does. Right.
Yeah, I can't turn it off or I can't turn it on. It happens when it happens. Mm-hmm. So getting back to the demonic thing, when I see something more on the demonic side or negative side, it's more of a translucent black smoke that moves around a room really, really slowly. So I know right away what it is compared to what I normally see when it comes to just, I guess, a regular spirit, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
So that's what I see. But, you know, I've spoken to a lot of mediums in the past, and they continually tell me that I'm a lot more powerful than I know.
Well, we all are,
or that I
right?
realized. Well, no, it's just because the fact that when I was growing up with my family, they were non-believers. And then anybody that had that kind of ability belonged in a home with a straight jacket on and sitting in a corner sucking your thumb.
Right.
If you could get out of that jacket. So that negativity that I grew up with is what mediums are saying what's going on with me. Because every time I see one, the first thing that pops in my head, it's not real. Only because of what I grew up with.
Don't talk about it. Right.
Yeah. So they say that I would be able to do a lot more, or my gifts would be a lot more powerful if I got rid of that negativity in the back of my head, which, you know, I'm 55 years old now, so I don't think really that's going to happen anytime soon to get rid of that
negativity. Come on now. You can still teach old dogs new tricks. 55 means nothing. So, come on. That's young.
Yeah.
You could do it.
So, you know, I don't think, which is interesting they say that, because when I was in the UK a couple of years ago, I was starting to hear them. I was starting to see a few facial features here and there. And, you know, and I asked mediums why. Well, the simple answer to that is UK, Europe is a lot different from North American spirits or energy. The history, the rich history in Europe, or especially in the UK,
is
so much more deeper and so much more, I don't even know the word, impactful. Than it is in North America. So,
but also you're in a very different environment than where you grew up in too. So like, you know, geographically or energetically, you're separated from the negativity that like would have sort of, I don't know if you want to say blocked your abilities or what have you, but you know, being in that different energy or different environment for you maybe had just like allowed just enough of like releasing some of those old negativity things that you could like let more information come through, just because you're in a different environment for your energy, right?
Yeah. It was interesting because as soon as I touched down, as soon as I got off the plane, I could feel that it was different. The feeling, the overall feeling was completely different. I was seeing them better. I was seeing a few facial features here and there. I was hearing them. But as soon as it came back to Canada, or North America,
it
went back to the way it was.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know why that is, but they, you know, a few mediums have told me that the environment, like you said, the environment is completely different over there than it is here in North America. And the energy is different. The history is different. everything's so much more different there compared to here. So I always tell people, if you have the opportunity to go to the UK or go to Europe, go.
Oh, yeah.
Because you will have, one, you'll have the best time ever. And two, the spirit and the history is so much, it's so much better than the North American history, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, and I, you know, maybe there's a little bit too of being more open, you know, maybe like just the general sort of like pocket of consciousness over there is more open to experiencing those kinds of things. Whereas, you know, we can tend to be a little bit sort of like you say, you know, check them.
Well, they have the same problem that we do. They have the same problem that we do when it comes to fakers and people exaggerating and people, the drama.
We all know that.
It's all the same over there than it is here.
It's all a reality show, and you got to crank up the volume on the drama.
Right.
Unfortunately, as you guys know, that the drama is pretty heavy here in North America.
For sure.
I would actually say it's more heavy in the States than it is here in Canada.
Oh, no, yes. You can put that on us 100%.
Yeah,
no, it's true. We know that's us. We're kicking up the fuss and we're leading the.
You guys will sue for anything.
We lead the charge in the drama field. Right. Yes, we do. 100%.
And you know what? I don't know why that is. I have no idea why that is. Why it's so different anywhere else in the world
either.
Than the States.
That's the role that we get to play, I guess. There's a lot of us here who we don't like it either. You know.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you guys know I'm Canadian, and drama here is nowhere near being anything like the States or wherever else. We say sorry for everything, but you know, it's just is it boredom?
Yes.
Is it because you got a terrible president?
This is something that I have like actually said before that I'm like, you know, America, we're kind of a little bit like a meth head or a heroin addict. We got, you know, we had from 2016 to 2020, we were really riding high and going wild. And the pandemic came around and we all had to sober up and get real. And so we elected old man Winter to steer the helm. And then we all got bored and now we need our chaos fix again.
Well,
so,
you know, it's
an addiction is what it is. It's an addiction to the drama and the chaos.
Yeah, it's funny that you say meth or, you know, addict. Over here in Canada, we're more like the marijuana. So
you're
when
more
you smoke
chilled.
Marijuana, you're more chilled, more happy, more happy. Of all those things.
So that's why you say sorry, because you're so much more considerate. Your empathy is kicked up a notch because MJ helps with the empathy. And then, you know, us Americans are down here with the harder stuff, just trashing hotel rooms and being insane.
I don't understand. I never understood that. I don't think I ever will. I don't think anybody's really going to have a straight answer. There's many different answers about it, but at the end of the day, we're all in the same, like I always say, we're all in the same field, the paranormal field. We're all after the same thing, but unfortunately, sometimes ego gets in the way.
Well, Haley was telling me about an event called the Global Ghost Hunt. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? Like, what do you do there?
First of all, Johnny, I'm going to tell you to go over to www.globalghost.com and all the information is there for you to read. But for your listeners and your watchers, Global Ghost Hunt is basically an event that I created. I was with another event that was kind of similar. It didn't work out. I decided to walk away. But I wanted to create my own, but I wanted it to be a lot different. And really, my whole goal for the Global Ghost Hunt is really bringing more awareness to the location. Teams are important. Locations are more important, because if you don't have locations, you don't have paranormal investigators. So I just find that even here in Canada, we've lost some great locations because of whatever the reason may be, whether it's vandalism, whether they can't afford to keep it open, or nobody's showing up and they just want to sell it and get rid of it because it's a headache, right?
Yeah.
So the whole goal for the Global Ghost Hunt is really the preservation of locations. and keeping them around. What we at the Global Ghost Hunt really like is we like to get locations that nobody's heard of. Right. They're not famous locations, like, you know, like the Pennhurst, like the Waverly Hills, like, you know,
Winchester Mystery House,
whatever it may be. And we've had famous places with the Global Ghost Hunt, but we really like to get those places that are really untapped, undiscovered, and to get more investigators to their location so they can stay open. They can pay their bills.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I think that is so great. Like, and it's a lot of fun too, because then you get more new information about new locations, because it's kind of like, it's almost kind of similar to like the Hollywood reboot kind of system, right? Like, you've seen it, been there, done that. Like, show me the other new stuff that I don't know about. Show me the places I haven't seen. Show me, you know, tell me the stories that I haven't heard about that might be really cool and new, interesting.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. So like, I love that too.
Yeah. And I've been to some famous places in the States that were great, where, to be honest, were very underwhelming, to be honest. They weren't,
because they become tourist attractions a little bit more than anything else, right?
You know, like, I was always a huge fan. It was a big destination that I wanted to go to, and that was Bobby Mackey's. I always wanted to go to Bobby Mackey's and really look at the place myself. And for me personally, it was very, very underwhelming. And it wasn't, I really truly believe it wasn't to the hype it's really been labeled as. You know, so, but that's just my opinion. And that's just one night of an investigation. Yeah. It could have been completely different the following week if I went again. Who knows?
Right.
But on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably give that a 3 of 1 to 10. So, that was good. And I'm not saying that it's not haunted. There has been something there. I just don't think it, what everybody's talking about is there.
As active as they say.
And the gate to hell, I think, is a load of crap, to be honest. I think that was just
fun story.
We all know who created that. You know, the Mr. Wonderful on the TV is the one that started that.
Oh, I was not aware of, actually. So
Let's continue with Global Ghost Hunt just for a second.
No, yes, do
agree. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So basically, Global Ghost Hunt, like I said, it was really about the preservations of the locations, and then obviously secondary would be the teams. Now, teams are important. I'm not putting them in second. That's just the way it goes. And we love the teams, but we want them to go in there and really talk about the history of the locations. We want them to really, you know, not necessarily hype up the location, just show us what the location is about, walk around, do a tour, do your investigation, everything like that. So that's really, and then obviously the Global Ghost Hunt is over a 10-day period. Mm-hmm. So you have 10 days. You can pick a date that you want to go live, or the reason I did 10 days was because you can walk into a lot of these locations and they don't have Wi-Fi, or you can't get internet or whatever it may be. So they can actually go in there and record their investigation, and then we'll show it through the Global Ghost Hunt, whether it's an hour and a half, whether it's an hour, whether it's 2 hours. And that still gives you recognition and definitely gives the recognition to the location as well. So that was one thing I really wanted to do, because unfortunately the other event only 1 day. So if you have no Wi-Fi and your signal's crap, you're out of luck.
Right.
This way, people can go out a month before the Global Ghost Hunt, do their filming, and send us their footage. Now, with saying that, one thing we do ask for, we don't want any cuts. We don't want any glitches. We don't want any captions. We want it to be completely raw. And the reason that is because we want people that are not in the paranormal field watching these videos and understanding what real paranormal investigations is about. It's not what you see on YouTube.
Yeah. Yep.
And with every 3 to 4 minutes, there's something going on and they're shaking their camera or they're streaming or they're yelling.
Yeah.
It's nothing like this. So really, at the end of the day, this has given the audience a real taste of what paranormal investigations is about. Because let's be honest, guys,
there's a lot of sitting and waiting.
It just took the words out of my mouth. And so really, that's what it was about. The preservations, the teams, saving some of these locations. Because my end goal, really, in a few years, once this really hopefully starts getting big, I want to take some of that money that is coming in for the entry and give it to the locations. We'll pick one location. We'll pick one location, and then we'll give them a check for $5,000 and maybe that will help them out for the year.
You can kind of crowdfunding. I don't know if you do but you know, people can donate throughout the event to so you can build up fundraising for the locations. Like, that's really cool, you know, helping them to keep places and open and to keep places, because it is a historical preservation element to it as well.
Well, yeah. And this is another good thing that, you know, some of the teams have done. There's been a couple teams in the last two events that I put on an event for the Global Ghost Hunt. So they put it on an event, and hopefully that event made some money, and they give some of that money to the location. It is in our contract that if they give you the location for free, then if you're having an event, a certain percentage of your money that you made goes to the location. And then if they didn't give you a deal, then still a certain percentage goes to the location if you're putting on an event. Mm-hmm. It's just to help the location, because if they're giving it to you for free, then they should be getting, they're getting free marketing, yes, but they should also be getting some of that money as well. But it's in the contract. So once you sign up for the Global Ghost Center, you read the contract, it's in there that you agree that if you're going to put on an event, you need to give some money to the location. So, and that was important for me as well to have in the contract for these.
Well,
locations.
It's a part of what you're doing. You want to support these locations and these people. And, you know, it's, if they are already struggling or not getting, you know, the same kind of attention, then obviously it's, they might be letting you use the place for free just because they're trying to get people in, you know?
That was really, really super important to me. And when we were putting the contract together, I wanted to put that in there, because I've heard from a prior event that I was talking about that a team went in there and made a crap load of money. They made a crap load of money from the event and merchandise sales, and the location got nothing for it.
I thought that was a
shame. But, and this is why in our contract that it's a requirement that
because
you have to get
share and share alike and collaborate. Yeah. And, you know, there's room for all of us to do well. That's definitely something I believe in.
I've told Haley in the past that there's a hotel in Sauk Center that we should go stay at. That it's an active hotel, but it's most haunted and stuff like that or whatever. But I think it's called the Palmer House.
We looked it up.
I know of it. Yeah.
I don't know how that would work, like doing an investigation there, because it is an active hotel. You can pay to stay there. Not really sure how that works. But like I've told Haley in the past, we should do just an episode.
Oh, no, absolutely. Order,
just see what we pick up.
Just for fun. But how do you handle that then when you have a location that is a active business like that? How would you handle that situation then with it? Like,
well, the businesses that I've done in the past, they've usually been closed when I've, like, it's after hours. I've done a restaurant before and it was closed. So I think when it comes, and I know of some hotels and motels that are open and you're in there investigating, but you just let the owner know that I'm going to be walking around investigating your location, make sure it's okay.
Yeah.
And usually 9 times out of 10, they're okay with it because they expect it.
Yep.
You know, look at the Stanley Hotel.
Look at the
Stanley Hotel. There's a hotel in Ottawa that's very active, but it's still open.
I was just thinking of like the Hotel Cecil. Is it in LA? The Lisa Lam Hotel.
Cecil Hotel.
Yeah.
I can't recall what the name of the hotel in Ottawa is, but it is the second most haunted spot in Canada, and it's still open. And they get lots of investigations there. I can't recall the name of it now, but definitely a place on my bucket list. The one in Ottawa, Quebec. I think it's on.
I'll have to look it up and check that out. Put it on the bucket list.
Yeah, but I mean,
oh, it is on the bucket list.
If you were to stay at the Palmer House in Sauk Center, chances are you're going to be there, because like they have a weird thing where they lock up at the end of the night. And there's no staff there. You were.
Yeah. Well, I did an investigation a couple of years ago, Niagara on the Lake, just by Niagara Falls, the Old Angel Inn. It's been around since, I want to say, 1775.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow,
I believe.
Very cool.
It is the oldest and still exists and still open in Canada. And it was set on fire the War of 1812.
Okay.
And there's a history to this place. So anyways, it's a restaurant, bar, and motel, or motel hotel kind of type of thing. There's six rooms upstairs, and we did an investigation there for 3 days, and stayed there at nighttime and did the walk around and did the investigation in all the rooms. This was during COVID, so nobody was staying there anyways.
They closed down
the restaurant anyways, but we were investigating, and they say when people come there to investigate, they usually, whatever rooms are open, they're allowed to go into and do their investigation, because there are a couple of rooms in there that are the most haunted rooms. Like the captain's room is the most haunted room. The story of this place, it was kind of a lover's thing. Well, kind of a lover's thing. This guy was a soldier in the War of 1812, and he was in love with the bartender.
Okay.
And he came, and she didn't really love him.
I was going to say, who hasn't been there?
Him. So, which is typical for, I think, any bartender. But, it continues as the world continues. So, nothing has changed in 100 years. But anyways,
right? Humanity, we just keep running through the same cycles, do we not?
Yeah, so bartender's still not interested in the patron. But, but that's another story. But anyway, so he was in love with this woman. He went there to go see her, and he couldn't find her, but apparently the soldiers were instructed to attack the restaurant, the bar, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he ran downstairs when they came in, and he hid in one of those wine barrels.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he was killed with a bayonet, because they were stabbing the wine barrels.
Oh, yeah.
And so he just happened to be in one, and he was hiding. They didn't know he was there, but he died in one, because he was killed with a bayonet.
The wine's tasting a little metallic.
There's extra flavor to this wine
I did a documentary there. The documentary has not come out. Will eventually come out, but we were there for 3 days, and I tell you, we had some great, great experiences. There's been some pretty famous people that have gone there that unfortunately fake videos.
I love that the sort of historical element, or the like, and I also love the storytelling element to locations, right? Like, because what a great story that goes along with like the haunting, right? The unrequited love story. What a fun.
If you go to the website after the show, punch in the Old Angel Inn. And on their website, they actually captured a spirit on their security camera, and it is there. It's really super cool.
Those are some of my favorites. When you get the security cam or dash cam footage of wheel, that's some of my favorite things.
So basically, if you take a look at it, they have a picture of a soldier, and then they have a picture of the spirit, and it actually looks like the same jacket from the soldier, which they think is this person that was killed in the bar or the basement, because he was in the basement. me personally, I think it's a woman because there is a woman there that used to be an old owner that died. And she was very attached to the place, and she lived there for a long time, and she lived in one of the rooms upstairs. I think it's her, but they for some reason think it's her, the captain that died. But take a look at it. Like, you're gonna like, and what's really cool about this, in that exact same area, because this is like a little cubby area for like the coffee, the teacups, cups and glasses. Mm-hmm. And there was a what do you call it? The one of those first aid kits. It was sitting up on the shelf, and one of the guys came in the room and goes, "I really hurt my arm." Soon as he said that, the first aid kit came flying off the shelf and hit the floor.
Oh, fine. But hey, see, now again, that's a ghost trying to be helpful. Just because they're shoving things around doesn't mean you're injured. We're trying to help. Here's the first aid kit.
Yeah. So, which is really interesting because he was a captain, right? And he would save people, basically. But it was really interesting because in that particular area, we captured some EVPs on the voice recorder as well. But the place was great. But very
cool.
The Old Angel Inn. Hopefully that documentary will come out soon. So.
Do keep us posted so we can share that out when you do. I absolutely want to see that. Yeah, very fun.
It's great. It will actually. Part of it will be on YouTube, but I think most of it will be going to Paraflix.
So, okay, very cool. Well, and I do want to make sure that we do cover too, obviously, Parapost Network on Facebook, that you are also would you call yourself founder of? I think is appropriate. Yes, no,
well, yeah, because originally Parapost Network Central came from Parapost Network, the app,
right?
So Parapost Network, the app, is a social media site that you can go to and for anybody in the paranormal, whether it's cryptids, whether it's supernatural, UFOs, that's why I built this website. Well, it's actually a social media site. It's a lot like Facebook. You just go there. You don't have to friend anyone. You just go there. You can friend people if you want to, but the option is there. But really, once you put something on the timeline or post something in your feed, everybody can see it. So it's a community. It's a community timeline that I created. But the end goal with that is I'm going to bring that social media site down. I'm going to rebuild it eventually. And then we're going to be able to have live streaming on there. So whether you're doing live investigations, live podcasts, or vodcasts. So that's eventually the goal, is to build it to a platform like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that you can go there and go live on there like you can. You can go live on everything now, like Instagram, Twitter, X, and obviously Facebook. But I want to get live streaming on there. But unfortunately, that takes a lot of money.
Yeah, so, you gotta have a lot of bandwidth to be able to do that.
Parapost Network started, it'll be three years in June. But I'm getting close to the point where we're going to bring it down and rebuild the site. And it's going to be a real social media platform. So
I'm going to tell you because I think that it's great to see, because when it comes to Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, like all of that, right? Like part of the problem is that you have like that algorithm that is like only showing you whatever certain things, right? And I love the idea of there being a specific to whatever kind of community you're looking for, social media platform or app. I love that you have a specific to the realm of the paranormal social media app, right? Like, because in my mind, to a certain degree, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the TikTok, it's like they're all great for what they are, but there's not a lot of like the kind of focus that you're looking for. It's all very sort of a commercialized industry sort of thing, right? And so that's what I love about Slasher, I think you know that app, like Damon Della Greca, before it, like, you know, he's built that social media app for horror fans. It's like, I love that there are people like you out there who are creating these things that are social media platforms for a specific sort of community so that you're not having to sort of try to sort through, again, the commercialism of the main social media apps, right? That you can go somewhere where, like, this is specifically the kind of community that I'm looking to engage with, right? And so it's a more, I don't know, niche kind of, I don't know if that's the right word, because obviously.
Yeah, it definitely is. Definitely is. You know what? Like, when I started it, it's funny, it's nothing glamorous how I started it. I was just going through Facebook's timeline and I was searching for stuff for paranormal. And, and you know, you had to punch in, you know, paranormal groups or whatever. But really, really, at the end of the day, it wasn't really anything at that time. 3 years ago, it was a lot different than it is today.
Yeah.
But 3 years ago, it wasn't, it was still popular, but not as popular. But so that's how it came up. I just called a buddy. I said, listen, do you want to start this? And I told him the idea and he goes, yeah, for sure. Now, he only stuck around for about 4 months. He decided something he decided he didn't want to do, which was fine. He was more the background guy. So he was doing all the tech stuff and everything like that. So he decided to walk away. And I said, well, I'm going to continue doing it. And I have. I tell you, though, if I knew then what I know now, I would have never, ever started it because it's been nothing but a headache.
You know, sometimes it's a good thing we don't know all the things or we would never start anything.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what? It works out how it has to.
But, you know, the eventual goal is to bring it down, put up a proper, because right now, to be honest, it's on a template called WordPress. And I'm sure you guys know what a WordPress is. Mm-hmm. And it's not the best in the world, but really at the end of the day, this was more about just seeing where it could go. And do I take the chance of taking it down and building a site right from scratch, which is going to cost $300,000-$500,000 to do, and you know, and have live streaming on it. Will people go to it? You know, it's around 2,000 people on the platform right now for about 3 years, but you know. When I first started, it was getting about 30,000 to 40,000 hits a month for views and stuff. It's obviously tremendously gone down, but eventually what will happen is I will take it down. I will bring it up. So everybody on Parapost Network Central will have the opportunity to go over there and stream to another page.
Yeah.
So with Parapost Network Central was born because I had this Parapost Network for the app, but it wasn't really doing anything. It was just sitting there. I think it had like 25 followers. And so I was going through the timeline of Facebook and going, just trying to come up with an idea on what I was going to do with this page. And finally it hit me. I go, podcasts. Yeah. I like to call them podcasts because they're actually podcasts on the page.
And I think that's kind of right. I mean, that's why we've done video and stuff and added that to YouTube, because I know people do like that. They like to be able to put a face to the voice. Yeah. You know, I get it. I understand that. And I do think that that's where a lot of it's going. But
So basically, it was just, I was going to reach out to some people that had some vodcasts and see if they wanted to come to the page and start showing their show on the page. And they said, sure. And that's where it started. That's where it was born. Nothing glamorous. And
it starts with just collaborating with people who have similar interests to you. And it's a beautiful thing when you can start something like that and just watch it grow. I think that's great.
And and again, it was one of those things where I was watching all these different vodcasts or podcasts and seeing all these great shows. And they had like one person in the room, two people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going, what a shame.
Yeah.
So why not build a platform where they can bring their vodcasts or podcasts over to the page, build the page up, and they have more places to stream to and then get more viewers. So really that was the goal. Well, and that started 2 years ago. So
again, you know, it's a platform I don't know how you want to say it. I do feel like the not having the kind of algorithm that filters for what is most profitable is something that people are looking for.
Yeah. Right. So I started at 25 people and right now we're 2 years now. And we're just under 4,000 followers, just under 4,000 followers. So, you know, it's grown. And I tell you again, it's one of those things. If I knew that, what I know now,
I wouldn't have started.
I wouldn't have started it because I'll be honest, like, and getting back to what we said at the beginning of the show, and it's funny how things come full circle.
Oh, yeah.
There's been some real ups and downs with Bear Post Network Central, to be honest. And
for sure,
we've had some people come to the page that weren't coming to the page for the right reasons. We've had some people that were on the page that something happened that they, it's been an endless circle of crap. And
I mean,
I always say this,
trying to build something and sometimes you got crap you got to just see as fertilizer now and then. It's,
you know, when something happens,
there, silver lining.
You know, I always say something funny to myself. When something happens, I go, my circle of crap is almost complete. And
there you go.
Yeah.
You know,
and when this one's complete, we'll start a whole new one because that's what we Lord. Do.
Yeah. You know, well, Jesus, I got enough on my plate right now. But I don't need to be starting anything new.
I am with you. And I have such that, like, I blame it on my Sagittarius fire sign energy all the time. Let's start another new thing and let's just say all the things on the human buffet. I want it all on my plate. Mm-hmm. I'm like, my eyes are bigger than my stomach.
Well, I started through the lens a couple of years ago. And then a couple of months ago, I started crime documentaries.
Yes. Doing this crime stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I got a possible another podcast that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be a co-host on. There's another podcast that I definitely want to start going or start moving on it because I did promote it 2 months ago. And that's called Beyond the Hauntings. Mm-hmm. And that's really more about, again, it's about locations. I'm a huge fan of locations. And
let's talk about a little bit of you then. Tell me about, because this is a question that I had that I wanted to ask. Okay. What are your favorite locations or type of locations to investigate or go to? Are you an outdoors person? Are we a hotels person? Are we a haunted houses person? Like, where do you feel like, where is your favoriteest? I'm so excited to go there and do this investigation.
I will say there's a couple spots that I love here. One's a tunnel. Both are tunnels. There's a prison here that I absolutely love. It's called Burwash Prison. It's about a 5-hour drive from me. But unfortunately, when you park, it's about another 45-minute walk through woods.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yep. And it's in the...
That sounds like somewhere I absolutely want to visit.
Well, the only downside to it is if you go in the summer, you definitely have to be caked in bug spray.
Oh, for sure. Oh,
okay. Good to know. Maybe more of like an end of fall kind of thing. Like do a Halloween.
Spring, fall. Yeah, okay, gotcha. Fall. I did the mistake of going into July and not bringing bug spray.
I bet that was a good time.
And I was wearing a white shirt.
Oh, so you were not a whole lot of capacity to be sensitive to any of the other energies.
By the time we got there, my whole back was covered in blood from the horse flies and back flies. Or black flies. I was just bitten alive and never again. Thank God when we got there were other people that were there. They gave me bug spray for the walk back.
Hey, thank God. Thank you. Thank you, paranormal community, for being good people who are share and share alike because don't need to be devoured by mosquitoes.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I really love. I'd have to say scarier the better, depending on the location. But I will say, and I'm sure you've heard other people say this, I really do love house investigations.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason why I love house investigation, because you don't know what you're walking into.
Okay.
Like with a lot of these locations, you kind of know the backstories of these locations and what to expect. When going into house investigation, you're getting a story from the house owners. But let's be honest, it's really unpredictable when you're going into house investigation because anything could happen. But there is one spot that I truly, truly love. And I've been there like 6 times. It is an abandoned church that's about 25 minutes away from me.
Okay.
And the activity.
I have to see pictures of this abandoned church and determine whether or not it's one I've been in my dream.
You got to go to my YouTube. It will be on my YouTube channel, The Abandoned Church. this place is absolutely amazing. We've captured so much evidence in this place, and they know who I am when I walk in there because they say my name. They say Brian on the SB7. On the SB7, they said Brian three times in a row on the SB7. And I know there's doubters out there with the SB7 because it's radio frequencies and all that stuff.
I was going to say, remind me which one that, because I was going to ask you too, what's in your gear bag, like the toys?
Yeah, the SB7. Well, that's why they call me the SB7 Whisperer, right? So, because I do so well on the SB7 and I capture a lot of evidence.
Tell me what the SB7 is though, again.
It's like the little transistor radio that sweeps through the frequencies of all the radio stations in the area. Right. Makes that noise.
Yeah.
It's like
for
static.
For me personally, I love that noise. I know a lot of people don't, but I love that noise because I know what's going to happen. But
noise. Like if you would like that noise if it's something that you're able to get information through, right? Like you're supposed to like it. You're supposed to enjoy listening to it. That's how they're getting information to you.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is I've captured a lot of things. And like I was saying, I was in there at one point and you go watch the videos and you'll understand. There's one room that's completely empty and it's a very large room, not overly big, maybe medium size. Anyways, there's a chair right in the center of the room and it's a rocking chair. It sits there by itself. I put the SB7 on there one time. I will not sit in the chair first things first. I will not do it because it actually says on the back of the chair, come sit. I will not sit in the chair. So there was one time where I captured this evidence. It actually said, because I believe I was talking about the chair and it said on the SB7, come sit.
Why will you not sit? Is it a gesture of respect or
won't do it? Something's wrong with that chair. And the last thing I want to do is bring anything home with me. And
you don't need any of that attaching to you and coming along for the ride.
I already have enough here. I don't need any more. So, but I've gotten it down to 13 now. There's 13 here instead of 20. But
just friends that come along with you after investigations and want to hang out.
Who knows?
I mean,
there's one woman that
could be so friendly and fun to hang out with. And they were
well, this is true. But there is one woman here that was already here when I got here. She travels the whole condo complex. So she goes everywhere in the condo complex. So it's very, 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 very difficult to nail her down to actually get her to stop coming in here. So, but she's an angry.
Oh, she just froze your video because she's upset you're talking to her. That's what happened. He'll come back in when she releases.
She's not very happy. The funny thing is I don't understand why. But there's one time.
Say that again. You froze. Say that we were making jokes that she was messing with your technology because you were talking about her and she didn't.
There
like
you
it.
Go. She just did because I saw low bandwidth on the screen there.
She's jumping in there. Quit talking about me.
Yeah. So she always goes to the right and I don't understand why. But
this is interesting. Sorry. This will be a fun little tangent that I'm just going to go on and Johnny can just think that I'm even crazier than he already does.
Go for it.
So I'm getting ready to move. We'll have to talk about this, Johnny. And I thought that I'm so excited for my new apartment to be haunted because it's been empty for a long time and they didn't tell me why. I'm so excited. But I recently, I sit at sometimes kind of by my front window and sorry, I don't know why this is coming up for me to talk about. So I'm just going to go ahead and talk about it and assume that maybe you have some interesting something to tell me. Because this is not something that has happened to me before or that I've experienced before, but if you've had experiences, maybe you can give me a little bit of a pointer. But I'll be sitting doing my art and I sit in front of the front windows, right, to get the natural light. And in the evening when it gets to be sunset, I am getting this sort of, I see someone out of the corner of my eye all the time and I look and there's no one there, but they're outside on the sidewalk pacing. It's I see someone who keeps going like they want to come in, but they're not coming in. Or they don't know if they want to come, but and I'll look and of course no one's there, but there's somebody pacing And I'm always like, is there a ghost? Is there a, like, what is that? Who's not sure whether or not they want to knock on the door? You know, like, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah, it is an interesting thing, because I have a friend that lives in an old town that I used to live in. And there's a guy that in their little small complex area, I guess, he walks around through all the different townhomes and even walks on the street. But it's almost like he's lost. He's looking for something. So that could be what's going on with yours. This person might be lost, might be looking for something, afraid to come in. Of course, you have to invite him in. He can't just come in.
Maybe that's what it is. I just haven't invited, and that's why.
Yeah.
That must be what it is.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
But the church place is my ultimate favorite place out of all the investigations that I've ever done. And if you guys ever come to Canada, I will take you to that church.
Universe, make it happen. I would absolutely love to go see this church. It's funny.
The last time I went, I took two people with me. And every time I walk into this place, you hear something right away. You hear it right away. So this time I heard it right away again. So I came home, I put the SD card, because I want to know what it said. So I put in the SD card in my laptop, went to that spot, and there it was. Get out, assholes. And it said play. Now, what's interesting...
Stop coming into my space, man. Get out of my
interesting,
bubble.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that's what I thought initially. But what's interesting is it's never reacted that way to me before. Now, was it because I brought these two new people and it didn't like them? Because there was one guy that was with us. He was kind of on the fence of, I don't know if he's not like a believer, but I think he went in with the wrong intent. Like, this is all crap.
Oh, sure.
Maybe that's why they said it, but it said it twice.
Oh, it said, get out. Interesting.
Like right in a row, it said, get out, assholes. And which I found funny, because it's never reacted to me that way. It's always been very positive. Like, I've been doing an SB7 where I got seven different highs from seven different spirits on the SB7. And it's incredible place.
I mean, but that's
interesting. I've even captured
the
spirit of a young boy. So
yeah. No, but it's interesting though, just the idea that having different people in the space will cause different or will elicit different reactions, right? Like, so interesting that, and also, but you've been to that space a lot too. So the familiarity element might have something to do with it.
But I want to say one story before we move on.
Yeah.
But there's in the main room where everybody would gather, there is a piano. And the amount of times that I've gone in there, I go, God, I hope I get that piano to play. So there was one particular investigation that I was there. I decided to leave the camera on the piano, facing outwards towards where everybody would be sitting. So we left the room. I was with a guy named Jay, my son's friend, because he wanted to check out the church. So we went to the main room, one of the main rooms where it had this small chair, the rocking chair. So you can hear us in a completely different room doing the SB7. And then all of a sudden, there it is. We got the piano to play. It played one note.
Oh, fun.
Crazy.
And right before that one note, we captured an EVP.
Nice.
And then all you hear is ding. And it is on my YouTube channel, but that is probably one of the best moments. Like, I've captured a lot of wonderful moments during a lot of investigations that I've done, but that to me has got to be the top number one moment of any investigation that I've ever done.
I love it. It's in your favorite piano place.
So,
yeah.
That is really cool. Definitely have to check that out. I love that. That's a love of fun.
You can hear the key. You can hear the key playing. You can hear it playing.
I love it.
It was really cool. And we captured an EVP of a woman sounding like she's warming up to sing by the piano, We actually captured a on the SB7. Jay asked a question: would you be pissed off if we played the piano? And we actually captured on the SB7. Yeah.
Well, not. I mean, don't interrupt her when she's warming up. That would just be rude. So right? You know,
it's awesome. You guys got to come up to Canada, Toronto, and I will take you to that church. You guys would absolutely. Now it's a little bit stinky. I will say. It's got some mold in it.
I was going to say, it's an old, we know what an old building is. Don't worry about it. That's fine. So,
but if that place ever came up for sale, I would go, I would go tooth and nail to buy that place.
Because I mean, and if you speak it into the universe, it may happen. You may be owning that church and Johnny and I will be coming up to visit and you'll be
right. I'm telling
Let
you.
Me give you a tour of my new abode.
I would put security cameras in there. I would clean it up. I would make it. I would open it for other investigators to come. But I'm telling you, this place is filled with spirits. And I don't even know how many, because, like I said earlier, on one SB7, I got seven different highs from seven different spirits.
Putting it, I'm putting it into the universe. You'll be owner of that
please
church.
Please do.
We'll be owner of that. That's right. Brian John will be owner of that church within a year.
You're right.
Oh, God, I hope so, because I'm telling you, I would buy it. I would buy it like that. And I would clean it up. And like I said, put security cameras in there rolling 24 hours a day, because I couldn't even imagine some of the evidence that I would capture in that place.
I'm excited for it to happen. I think if I'm going to put it out there for you, the owner of that church.
Right. Well, Brian. We have somewhat of like a wrap-up question. It's appropriate because we're in the Dakotas. What would be on your Mount Rushmore paranormal movies?
Movies?
So what's your Mount Rushmore? We're paranormal in the real world, but in the entertainment industry, in the realm of what brings you joy in the fictional paranormal.
It could be paranormal or...
Listen, if it's a documentary that is paranormal, also acceptable. It's your Mount Rushmore. You fill it how you choose.
How about a location?
It's a Mount Rushmore of location.
We will do Mount Rushmore of location.
We'll do that.
Because I don't really, to be honest, I don't really have a favorite movie. You're like, last movie I saw in the paranormal was that movie I can't remember the name of the movie now. But anyways, my Mount Rushmore of places.
Your four favorite places.
I'll give you three.
All right, let's see.
Okay? I'll give you three.
All right.
Suicide Forest is my number one.
Okay.
In Japan?
In Japan.
Yes.
All right. I am fascinated by that location as well. I'm with it. I dig it.
The Dead City.
Which one's this one?
The Dead City is right outside of Cairo. And right outside of Cairo. And there's over a million people that live in the city and they all live in tombs.
Okay.
How have I on the bucket list for me now? I love it. Let's put that.
Look
one
it up. It's incredible. It's incredible. And my third place would definitely be the pyramids for sure.
The pyramids.
Yeah,
I love it. I mean, because you can't get more wooey woo weird ethereal wild energy than the pyramids, right?
Yeah, and there's my fourth place. My fourth place is hard because there's so many different other locations that I would love to do. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll stick with the three because there's too many that tie.
We'll put the church on there for you. And that'll be the, because you will be owner of the
church. I've already investigated that. That's off my bucket list.
Why not? But
church is God. Like church is, and it's funny how I use that word, but church is definitely there. But the Japanese or Suicide Forest is definitely my number one spot that I would go to. And be honest, I would be afraid as well, only because I would be afraid to see what I would be seeing when entering that forest. I did one of my bucket lists 2 years ago, and you both have to go there if you get a chance, and that is Sherwood Forest.
Oh.
The UK. And I was there, and the tree is the main spectacle of Sherwood Forest. That's over 1,000 years old. And some of the evidence that we captured around that tree was absolutely incredible through, again, the SB7.
I have to check that one out too. So very cool. Well,
I'm sorry I didn't answer your question properly because I don't really have a...
No, you're fine. Okay. Sorry.
Josh and I do not have properly in any of our methods of doing anything.
For the most part, I ask people, what would be your motive today if they come up with what would be your answer today? But no, you're wrong.
Rushmore would be a pretty cool place to investigate too.
It's an interesting spot.
The Black Hills in general, right? Like, gorgeous area, and definitely a lot, you know, I think it would be a lot of fun to go out there and investigate just a lot of the different locations, for sure. Yeah. Laverty, Parapost Network, Global Ghost Hunt, Huntophobia, my friend who is doing all the cool, fun investigations. Absolutely. So appreciate you being with us here for Day of Fun. Thank you. It's been a blast. Thank you for having me. Everybody. One more time, though. Where to find you. We'll put your links in the description, but one more throw out to the audience. Where are all the websites they got to check out for you?
Well, they can go to www.globalghosthunt.com if they're interested in signing up or even want to give a donation. I never ever say that.
Keep these locations alive and keep sponsors.
So then Huntophobia, you can find me on all platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Twitter X, sorry. All those wonderful places. Parapost Network, you can download it through iOS or Android, which is awesome. You can go, it's free. You can sign up, you become a user, you can check out what other people are posting, or if you want to post anything, completely up to you. So, Huntophobia.
Friends in the paranormal world.
Yeah, and Huntophobia you can find on YouTube. You can also find Huntophobia on Paraflix, the streaming app that just like Netflix. And if you want to join, all you have to do in the promo code to get a discount on the app or the platform, just punch in Huntophobia and you'll get a big discount. I think it's like 25%. It's like $1.99 a month or something like that.
Nice.
So you get a nice discount and you can watch all the paranormal that your heart desires on that platform. So you definitely want to punch in Huntophobia and you will get the discount. But other than that, crime documentaries Sundays and Through the Lens on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock on Facebook on Parapost Network Central. And if you want to join or sign up's the wrong word. If you want to go over and follow the page and watch other vodcasters like Haley,
Me and Johnny hanging out, coming to the fun that's available, all the good podcasts we got going.
Yeah, and if you have a vodcast and you want to get more exposure, message us and we'll put you up on the platform.
I love it. Awesome. I do so appreciate all the collaborative networking nature and then trying to help everybody out. That is definitely a sentiment I appreciate. So
thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us today. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you joining us.
Have a great one, guys.
You too.
Thank you. Hey, thanks so much for listening, y'all. I've been Haley.
And I've been Johnny.
And this has been Johnny Haley Day of Fun. Thanks so much for listening. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/JohnnyHaleyDOF. And we're JohnnyHaleyDOF on Instagram and @gmail.com. Send us your hate mail. We'll read it out loud on the podcast, won't we, Johnny?
For sure.
Awesome. Thanks for listening. Peace out, y'all.
Later.
Special thanks to the Parapost Network for the support of their community. Check out all the great podcasts on the Parapost Network on Facebook.